So in about 2 weeks, or more accurately, 12 days and 23 hours, is the ordination mass to the priesthood for the Archdiocese of St. Louis. But you know, who's counting? I remember my own excitement when I was anticipating my own ordination to the priesthood about 5 years ago, and all the different things that needed to be planned in advance before it could actually happen. Those things were a little less exciting, but still necessary to have a joyful experience and celebration of the Holy Priesthood. But when we think about priests, sometimes we can take it for granted that we have priests and that the priests are here for us. But what exactly does a priest do? Why are they important? Why did Jesus give us priests? A short and quick answer about why we have priests today would be that the early church had priests. We can see this in multiple places in sacred scripture. Some examples include 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, Titus chapter 1, verse 5, and also in our first reading today. Some translations may say elder or presbyter. In our first reading, we heard the word elder, where it says, they appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord. In the Greek, the word elder is presbyteros. And if we translate that into Latin and then into English, we get the word priest. And so in another translation, in the Douay Rheims English translation, the same verse says this, and when they had ordained to them priests in every church, they had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. Okay, so they had priests, so we have priests. What makes priests so special? Well, ministerial priests are ordained for sacred ministry. They are God's gift to us to be able to preside over our celebrations and provide for us the sacraments. The sacraments are outward signs that are sensible to us, given to us by Christ, entrusted to the church, so that we would have the guaranteed grace of God being given to us. If we think about it, we are creatures that are body and soul. We have senses, and the way that we know things typically is through our senses. We see it happening. We hear it happening. Through our senses, we come to know. And so for the Lord in his mercy and his love to give us a way that we would know with certainty that his grace is being given, a way in which it's being transmitted sensibly, allows us to have the confidence that we have that grace. And so it's a great gift to have priests who can then provide for us the sacraments. For example, we might wonder, like, how do we know that God really forgives us? We are blessed to have the sacrament of reconciliation. And when Jesus, through his priest, says, I absolve you of your sins, and follows it with the Trinity, the Trinitarian formula, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, when those words are declared to us by God through his priest, we have confidence that we who approached our Lord in humility with a contrite heart are forgiven of our sins. We don't have to doubt it. We don't have to question it. We know with certainty. The Lord guarantees it. And this is a sign of his great love and mercy for all of us. But how do we know that he gave this authority to his priests? Doesn't sacred scripture say only God can forgive sins? Well, yes, that is God's authority. But Jesus, in sacred scripture, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 23, breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained. And then also in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus says to his apostles, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so Jesus is sharing his authority or exercising his authority through the instrument that is the priest for the grace and mercy of his to be shared with all of his disciples and believers. And so this is a great gift. But we might say, well, okay, he gave that to the apostles. How do we know that it goes any farther than that? Well, because the apostles share that authority with their successors. We see that in multiple places in Scripture. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verse 6. In Acts, chapter 13, verse 3. In 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6. We see multiple examples of ordinations of of the apostles sharing their priestly sacramental authority with their successors. We see this being passed on at the very beginning, actually, of the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 1, verses 25 to 26, when Matthias takes the place of Judas. He's elevated to the same rank as the other apostles. And so they're sharing their authority. We see this happening. And of course, in our first reading, we heard that they ordained priests. We can look through history too, and we can see the early Christian writers talking about bishops, priests, deacons, ordinations. And so we know that this authority, this power that God had given to the apostles is then shared throughout the ages all the way to today. So we might say, okay, well, we have priests, so what? Like, isn't that's fine, whatever. What do we do about it? Well, we should be grateful. Grateful that the Lord wishes to give us his grace in this special way, that he would love us so much that he would have these priests who can be Christ for us, Christ present in them by the sacrament of holy orders. The priest is configured to the person of Christ, or in Latin we would say in persona Christi, such that they can act on behalf of Christ or have Christ act through them to be that vessel of grace that God calls them to be. So gratitude, to express to God thank you for such a great gift, but also to express that gratitude to the men who said yes to the call to the priesthood, because all human beings have free will and we can resist God's plans. We can choose to do otherwise. And so, like any other vocation, a person has to accept it and pursue it. So to express that gratitude. Now, some might object and say, well, not all priests are good. And, you know, okay, yeah, God's grace can still work through them despite their sinfulness. But some priests, not so great, not as grateful for them. But, okay, yeah, that's true. Not all priests are good priests. But that leads to the second point, to pray for priests. Our prayers are powerful. We see that in sacred scripture. All the many references to people praying and then God releasing more grace and having a positive effect as a result of those prayers. And so if there's a priest that that has issues or problems or is not very good at being a priest, it's good to pray for that priest, for God to make them a good priest, to bring about a deeper conversion in their heart and growth in holiness so that they can be better instruments of God's love and mercy. So prayer is very important, but also to pray that the Lord would send us more priests. And it's good for us to pray for the priests who have ministered to us, the priests who baptized us, the priests who gave us First Holy Communion, the priests who hear our confessions, to pray for those priests as well who have been those instruments of mercy for all of us. And it's good for you to pray for your priests here at ICD, that we may continue to grow in holiness and better serve you as we are called to. Lastly, it's good for us to encourage young men and boys to consider the possibility of priesthood. There's nothing that can make us happier than following God and doing his will, because he wants to make us joyful. He wants to make us holy. He wants to make us with him forever in heaven. And we need to cooperate with that. But we also, we're social creatures. And we give a lot of credit to what other people think. And so it's good for us to encourage one another to grow in holiness. And if we think that God may be calling a young man to priesthood, to acknowledge that reality, to help strengthen them to consider that possibility. To say to them, I think you have the qualities that you could be a good priest. So that they might consider that possibility. Sadly, when I entered seminary, I was told by the vocations director that 75% of young men who enter seminary do not have the support of their family, do not have the support of their parents. That means only 1 in 4 are being supported. And the others are doing this because of their love for the Lord and following the Lord, but they're not supported by their family in this effort, which is a really sad statistic. But it's important for all of us to then be encouraging to for parents to encourage their sons, for grandparents to encourage their grandsons to the possibility. Never forcing. It should always be free, a free choice, but to be moved in a direction, to be encouraged, to give that opportunity and possibility some thought. And for the young men themselves, any young man who takes the faith seriously should consider the possibility of a call to the priesthood. If that's what God wants a young man to do, there is nothing that will make him happier or more joyful in his life or be more fulfilled than to answer that call. And likewise for any other vocation. There's nothing that can make a person happier or more joyful than to follow God as he calls them. And so these three things can be our response to this reality of priests, this gift, this expression of God's love. Why is it that we have priests? Well, because Jesus gave us priests. We see that in sacred scripture. There's an unbroken chain of ordinations going all the way back to the apostles. Priests act in the person of Jesus Christ, who gave them that authority so that they can be ministers of his grace and mercy, and that we would know with certainty that we are given that grace through the sacraments. We should respond to this great gift of priesthood by giving thanks to God and to his priests for their priesthood, to pray for priests, to pray that they be good and holy men and leaders, and that God will grant us more of them, and to encourage young men to consider the possibility. If you can do all three of these things this coming week, great. If not, try to do at least one, to give thanks, to pray, or to encourage. Let us take this next moment of silence to pray for all those who are being ordained this year to the sacred priesthood as we prepare ourselves to encounter Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist.